And all you gotta do is say that you wanna move the bill and I'll.
I'd like to move the bill.
All right, I withdraw it.
But I do wanna listen to all the concerns.
Withdraw my objection.
Are there further objections? Seeing none, the bill is moved.
Can't believe it, Norm.
So someone from the department?
Are you gonna hear another bill?
This should be very brief. Someone from the department on the procurement bill?
Brief.
We went through this bill the other day. There was some language that we asked the department to come back with. They have proposed an amendment. Everybody has a copy of it. I think it fits nicely in the bill and captures what we wanted to do. Dugan, would you please?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, thank you.
Tell us about this amendment.
For the record, my name is Dugan Petty. I'm the Director of the Division of General Services. This amendment attempts to address questions that the committee had, concern that a bidder who wanted to bring a protest could perhaps be precluded from bringing that protest under either a shortened circulation scenario or particularly a concern that Representative Porter had if we had scheduled pre-bid conferences, which would somehow, because of their lateness in the process, would prevent a bidder from having sufficient time to bring a protest forward. The underlined section that you have in front of you would replace the underlined section in the bill, and it does three things. It allows for, in the first sentence, the procurement officer to actually establish a lesser period of time in the bid so that a protester could bring a bid protest forward in less than 10 days. It also, in the second sentence, allows a protester of a solicitation to bring a protest forward just prior to bid opening if the bid solicitation period had been shortened. So if we have something less than 21 days notice, which is the full notice period under law, then the time that a protester would have to bring the protest forward would be right up until bid opening. And then finally, the third sentence would say that in the event that we hold a pre-bid or pre-proposal conference within 12 days of bid opening, then a protest of a solicitation could be brought right up to the time of bid opening or proposal submission date. The intent here would be, Mr. Chairman, that if the pre-proposal conference was held 15 days prior to bid opening, that there would be sufficient time for a bidder to respond to any issues found at the bid opening and still meet that 10-day rule.
Other questions? I think, again, this pretty much captures Representative Elton.
Just to make sure I understand, the proposed amendment replaces only the language that is underlined in Section 3.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, that's correct. The section dealing with the protest of a bid award still would remain in statute, and I'm hopeful that the committee substitute would capture that.
Representative Elton.
Well, Mr. Chair, I'd call this amendment number one and move amendment number one.
We will call this amendment number one. Are you still writing?
No,
okay.
Time.
We'll call this amendment number one then. And was there a motion to move amendment number one? There's a motion to move amendment number one. Objections? Seeing none, amendment number one adopted. It brings us back to the bill as amended. Representative Roper.
Mr. Chairman, I have an amendment I'd like to offer.
Mr. Chair, I've got it.
I'd like to offer an amendment to delete in their entirety sections 4, 5, 6, and 7 of the bill. That relate to the leasing procedures where they exempt the Department for Procurement for small procurement lease purchase agreements up to $2,500,000, 5,000 square feet of office space, allow lease extensions for 10 years on a 10% drop. I think all of these things, without further review, need to be looked at, and if we want to move this bill, I want them out of the bill.
I'll object. Here's the department.
Mr. Chairman, we believe that particularly sections 4 and section 5 provide us in limited resources we have to be more effective in getting the job done and provide us with the ability of saving the state money through a more streamlined process when we acquire the smaller leases, as well as the ability to save money under section 5 by extending leases when it makes good sense. By giving us this flexibility doesn't mean that in all circumstances we would take that. We would expect that we would exercise some judgment and make good decisions in the marketplace.
Representative Roper.
Mr. Chairman, in Section 5, by having this provision in procurement code, it automatically grants the state of Alaska a renewal option on any lease they have by law. They don't have to bargain for it in the crucible of the marketplace. Therefore, it's an unfair situation without some sideboards put on it. For example, as I mentioned in the committee hearing the other day, this should not apply to leases that are naturally expiring within about 18 months of their natural expiration. Those leases should be put up for competitive bid on the street. All this does is allow continued sole source bidding or sole source procurement without any kind of overview or oversight. Additionally, the 10-year provision is way too long. It's twice as long as customary lease terms in the Alaska marketplace. So,
okay.
I mean, without some sideboards, I could get behind this provision if it had adequate protections for the real estate market. But as it's written, I object to it strenuously. It's anti-competitive and not a healthy thing. Plus, the other provisions, I apologize for not having enough time to review that, to have a chance to talk to Mr. Petty about them. So as a result, I'm making a broad brush amendment, unless you want to hold this over and give us a chance to look at it. Additionally, I have problems with Section 36, which we brought up the other day, is related to provisions where no claims were filed within 30 days, where there are situations where they're in a leasehold situation, a contract that those adjustments may not be able to be made for a period of much longer than 30 days. I mean, there's just some really unfair stuff in here.
Mr. Chairman, if I might respond to Section 30, the comment of Director Goldberg on Section 36, perhaps extending that to 90 days would alleviate Representative Goldberg's concern on 36.
Or I would say maybe a better way to do it would be to provide any additional rent portions of leaseholds where this would come into play to exempt that provision or something, or something like that. Because on certain contracts, by going out 90 days may be too long. I just don't know. I mean, you could come up with different scenarios, but. Yeah.
Chairman, right now there's simply no statute of limitations on when claims can be brought against the state on expired contracts. We've had circumstances where they've been brought very untimely, and you tend to see those in supplemental bills, as a matter of fact. So we think some time frame in there is necessary.
Well, I agree with that. I mean, I've got a problem with that, and I think maybe a 90-day extension would be fine, but I also think you need to have a provision in there that exempts or is even longer for a leasehold situation where there's utility charges and so forth. It's my practical experience. What happens is if there's an escalation clause where there's an adjustment for rents, where your utilities or taxes go up, it usually takes a period of several months before you get all the bills in, so you can go back and back bill the tenant. The landlord back bills the tenant for those prorated share increases, and many times it takes a number of months to get the information in. And additionally, if you don't have a big bookkeeping staff or you're a little bit lazy, that might take another couple of months before you end up getting it all put together and billing the state for it or any other tenant. So I've seen those things go on for 6 to 8 months sometimes before you back bill, and that's not uncommon in the industry. So.
But wouldn't discover it when they say when the contractor became aware of it?
No, you're aware of it, but what's a where? I mean, that's not enough. I mean, it just doesn't fit that circumstance. That's why if you had either exemption for those types of things.
You're not aware of it until you get it.
Oh, well, sometimes you don't get all the information. Well, you have it, but sometimes it takes a while to process it.
Mr. Chairman, maybe this would shed some light, but in our lease documents, we actually set a time period for coming forward to the contracting officer with a CPI adjustment in the lease.
That is a new provision now, yeah, right.
So the lessor should be cognizant of what the time frame is in which they need to submit, and this would, in my reading, give them at least 30 days beyond that if they missed it.
Well, I think what you're doing is creating statute, though, so I think that then if you're going to have that in that lease, you ought to have it in the statute. They shouldn't be in conflict.
I'm going to ask you if you can get with Representative Roakberg in the next couple of days, and we'll hold this until Friday. Let's see if you can air out the differences.
I'd be happy to, Mr. Chairman.
Streamline this. And for those on teleconference line, we're not going to be able to get to the other.
What about the governor's PR provision?
We have. We are losing a quorum. We will hold these bills over until Friday. And with that, we will adjourn.
It feels like this was very difficult to churn your list.
George.